You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
Tell someone the topic this morning. Say the topic this morning. Ready, go. Say the prophet. Come on, the and a son. Now, when we consider our two main verses in Matthew 1, 22 and 23, these are very important verses that I know that young men and young women of God need to know and understand, especially when it comes to celebrating Christmas. Notice the right way. Christmas, a celebration of Christ. We need to celebrate it the right way. And the Bible says that God's word is right. So if we're going to celebrate Christmas the right way or according to Scripture, we need to heed Matthew 1, 22, and 23. Now, in these two verses, there are three important people. Now, before we deal with these three important people, let me just go ahead and say off the rip that none of these three people have anything to do with Santa Claus. None of these three people have to do with some elves. None of these three people have to do with reindeer. Y'all mighty slow. That has, look at somebody and say, nothing to do with Christmas. Yeah, especially when it comes to celebrating Christmas, as I said, the right way or the Bible way. If you and I are truly born again, we should not idolize or even bring up Santa's workshop. Any of that foolish. It has nothing to do with celebrating the Christ child. If I'm right, go ahead and shout, he right about it. And some young folk, even parents, will get mad when you tell them that. You go to school and tell some of your peers that Christmas has nothing to do with Santa Claus, you might get detention. You might get told, don't you talk about that in my class, because that's how the world celebrates Christmas. But a true Christian, a faith walker, am I talking to anybody in here this morning? No, we're going to keep it Bible, right? All right. And so we're going to learn this morning about these three different people that are very, very important. And again, you need to know and have good understanding of these three people. The first one is found in Matthew 1 and 21. I'm sorry, 22. Notice what Matthew records. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, notice, through the prophet. The first person we need to have knowledge and understanding about is God's prophet. God's prophet. And I want you to understand something according to the verse, or contextually, young people, God used his prophet to speak what will be done. God uses his prophets to speak what will be done. I need y'all to say that with me. Say, God uses his prophets to speak what will be done. Yeah. A prophet, especially God's prophet, young people, is very valuable very important. More so important than a teacher at school, a coach that you may play for, a mentor that you may have. You can't put them on the same level as God's prophet. Why, Pastor? Because God's prophet, young people, is God's mouthpiece here on earth. God uses prophets, notice, to speak his mind, to speak his will or what he desires to do in your life and in my life. And he will speak it, young people, based upon what's happening presently or what's going to happen in the near future or the distant future. God will use a man that has been chosen to tell you what he's going to do in your life presently, in the near future, or the distant future. God uses his prophets, young people, to let you know how he feels about what he's been seeing in your personal life. He uses his prophet to communicate what he wants to be done in your life as well as in his church. God's prophet, young people, is his mouthpiece. Now, this is what's sad. You have false prophets. You have false prophets, sadly, in the church, and you have false prophets, as the Apostle John said, that have gone out into the world. It's important for young people to make sure that they receive knowledge, understanding, and the will of God from God's prophet and not a false prophet. You got to make sure that your mind, your spirit, your consciousness is open to what God is saying and not what a false prophet is saying. Someone who's coming with a demonic message, someone who's coming with a message to mess your life up. You got to make sure that you are not yielding yourself to the messages that come from worldly messengers, worldly prophets. Can I break it down? Certain celebrities, certain rappers that come to you with another gospel, that come to you with another message. You don't need to receive that. No, you need to reject that. We need to make sure that we receive everything that comes from God's prophet. Because if we believe God's prophets, young folk, we're going to prosper. I said, if we believe God's prophets, we're going to prosper. And so God loved us so much, he gives prophets to the church. And I'm going to show you that in the scripture. But let me take my time. First thing we need to understand, a prophet is God's what? Mouthpiece. Here on the earth. And he's going to reveal things to us to enhance our life. Notice Amos 3:7. I have it here on the wall. Very familiar verse if you attend a place of refuge. Notice what Amos the prophet said. Surely the Lord God does help me nothing unless he reveals his secrets or secret to his servant, who? The prophets. God is going to reveal his desires, his will to his prophets. That's who he's going to give it to. Not to the news, not to a celebrity. He's going to give it to who? His prophets. And so as a young man or a young woman, you need to have the proper relationship with God's prophet. Now in the local church, are y'all still with me? In the local church, God's prophet is his shepherd or his pastor. And so you need to have the right relationship with God's prophet as a young man or as a young woman. Yeah, you need to be the type of person that hungers and thirsts for righteousness so God can fill you. Every time you come to church, you need to be pulling on God's prophet. And just not God's shepherd directly, whomever the prophet has deemed authority to speak in your life, you need to be receiving from them also. That means when the minister comes up to pray, because the minister is subject to the prophet, when the minister comes up to pray, you need to be praying with the minister. But your spirit needs to be open. What is the minister praying for? Because it's something in that prayer that's just for me. But then the prophet or the shepherd would give authority to the praise team and the musicians. And see, throughout the week, they're seeking God on what songs shall we sing, Lord? What do you want us to minister to your people? They're just not getting up here and doing something to make us dance. No, they're acknowledging the Lord because they know that God's young people have needs. And so when they come up in here and they're singing three songs or two songs or just one song, you need to look at that as saying, whatever God is giving them, I need to receive it into my spirit. Especially when the song that they're singing is lining up with God's word. Are y'all still with me? When the minister gets up to pray and the minister is sharing testimony and the minister is telling us things like what we heard God saying through Minister George on this morning, Minister Thomason, about how we need to be expecting more, you need to receive that because the prophet has given him authority to speak into your life. And so you need to be receiving what God dropped in his spirit, and you say, Lord, if he can run up and be a blessing to folk, you're letting me know you want me to be a blessing to folk. If you've given him more than enough, you're going to give me, help me, more than enough. That's what we need to receive. And especially when God's prophet gets up to speak the word to us, we don't need to reject the word, even if it steps on our toes. We need to receive it because God will give young people a word to live by. What did Jesus tell Satan? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by, help me, every word. Man, even young men, young women, God is not going to wait till we 25 and older, 35 and over for us to start living. No, God wants us to be living now. Preteen, teenager, early 20s, mid-20s, early 30s. Look at somebody and say, he want me to have life right now. That's right. I just need to make sure in the days of my youth, while God is blessing me, I need to remember my creator. Whatever God does for me, I need to give him the glory. Whatever God allows to happen in my life, I need to give him the glory. How many, that's your testimony? Whether it's a new pair of shoes, a new outfit, money in your pocket, an open door, you stand on ready to give God the glory. Am I talking about anybody in here? I know we got at least seven folk that's going to come in here on New Year's Eve ready to give God the glory. I know God has caused better to happen for somebody in here, and he's been dealing with you, and you can't wait for your 3 minutes on New Year's Eve service to get up and give God the glory. Oh, y'all fell off then. Look at somebody and say, he's still talking about me. And so God's prophet, he reveals what? Secrets. He reveals, help me, secrets. Let's go to Ephesians. Y'all go to Ephesians. Come on. Ephesians 4. So we know, come on, the prophet is God's what? Mouthpiece. He's going to reveal what? Secrets, okay? Notice Ephesians 4 and 11. Paul said, and he's talking about Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross and then rose from the dead, he dwelt among men for a short time, and then he ascended, the scripture says, young people, into heaven. But when he ascended, he left some gifts here on earth for the church. And notice what Paul said in Ephesians 4 and 11. And he himself, what's that next word? he himself did what? Gave some to be apostles, and that second one, some to be prophets. God gave prophets. Then he gave evangelists, and some, help me, pastors and teachers. So God gave gifts to the church. And what I want you to see in this is that your pastor, your house prophet, is your gift. It's your gift. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 3:15, said God gave shepherds, to feed God's people with two things. Help me. Knowledge and what?
Understanding.
God gave shepherds according to his heart. God picked out somebody that would be tailor-made just for you. Yeah. I'm gonna choose someone, and look, I'm gonna give them to you so your life can be better. So you can be the head and not the tail. I'm going to give you a shepherd. I'm going to give you a prophet, young folks, so you can be the lender and not the borrower. Woo! You can be blessed going in, and you can be blessed coming out. Oh, we ought to thank God for giving us gifts. And we know that when God gives us gifts, young people, he ain't going to give us no mess. He going to give us things that are good and perfect. He's going to give us someone that's going to benefit us, and he's going to give us somebody, listen, that's going to help us to mature. It's going to help us to grow up. See, God don't want you to stay a child or childish all your life. And see, you can be young but still be mature. I said, you can be young but still be mature. Have you ever met somebody that's young, but you could tell, it's a saying, man, you got an old soul. You ever met somebody that's young, but you could tell it's like they've been raised around older people that have poured into them, and they don't act as childish as the most common teenager in their day? And see, God still does the same thing. Look at Daniel. Look at the Hebrew boys. They were young, but they were what we would say ahead of their time. God had given them understanding. God had given them knowledge. God had equipped them so they could be productive in life. And God is still doing the same thing. Look at somebody and say, God ain't changed. The question is, do you want what God has for you? But I want you to see in this verse, he gives prophets and pastors. He gives them as gifts. Y'all see it? All right. So the first person we got a good understanding about. And the prophet that was being talked about in our verse was the prophet named Isaiah. God used Isaiah, the prophet, to speak about the birth of Jesus hundreds of years before it even was fulfilled. Help me say it again. Say, God ain't changed. God will use prophets in our day to speak things that are happening in your life in the near future and in the distant future. Y'all receive it? Last thing I want you to know about a prophet. So let's see if y'all learn. A prophet is what? God's mouthpiece. A prophet reveals what?
Secrets.
Good. A prophet is our gift. Good. The house prophet is called a what? A shepherd or a pastor. Good. Let's go to Isaiah 55. Lord, y'all get me. Isaiah 55. Now, this is important. 55 and 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my, help me? I thought y'all were with me. Isaiah 55 and 11. So shall my word be. be that goes forth from my... Now, who is God's mouth on earth? Prophet, pastor, right? So shall it be that the word that goes from my shepherd. Y'all see it? It shall not return to me what? Void. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. God's prophetic word, young people, is not empty. When God gives you and I a word, it's not what? Empty. But it's effective. Whatever God speaks in our life, if we receive it and act upon it, it's going to happen. Now get this, it's so powerful that if you don't receive it and you don't do it, somebody else going to grab a hold to it. And they going to do it. And God is going to bless them. So whether it is you or somebody else, the word that was taught is not going to return to God void or empty. It's going to accomplish everything that it was sent to accomplish. Y'all mighty quiet. Are y'all understanding? So what is this saying? Whatever message the Lord gives to the pastor, it's going to come to what? It's going to come to pass. It happened with Isaiah. It took some time. It took hundreds of years, but it came to pass. Now, we ain't going to live hundreds of years. No, we're not. It won't be said that Pastor Baker and his congregation lived to be 300. No, it ain't going to happen. That's just not our lifespan, right? But you look in the Bible, you see folk that live 300, 500. Shoot, some folk live to be over 800. Yeah. But in our day and time, if God speak a word in our lifetime, it can happen. Look at somebody and say, his word is not empty. Yeah, God can speak a word on you while you're 12 years old. And by the time you graduate from high school, you'll see it happen. God can speak a word to you when you graduate at 18. And by the time you turn 21, if you're still walking in that word, it can happen. God's word is not an empty word. Look at somebody say, it's effective. It works. Matter of fact, Paul said it effectively works to those who believe. Do I have any young folk that's crazy enough to believe God's word? You can't be like the average teenager or young adult. You don't need to be to the point to where you believe every lyric that somebody puts out in a song. You believe every movie or something you read on the internet. But when it comes to God's word, you slow to believe. You got young folk like that. Man, so-and-so said it. I believe it. But that's a sinner. Their word is not guaranteed. You let some folk read something on Google. Hey, it was on the internet. That's not guaranteed. But God's word is. God's word is. It's effective. And if he said certain things is going to happen in your life, God is not a man that he should lie. Yeah, nor the son of man that he should repent. It's going to happen. He going to make it good. Woo, I said it's going to happen. Those things that God spoke in your life and some time has passed, I come to remind you it's going to happen. Time may have passed. You may have gone through some things, but it's going to happen. So how many understand some truths about the prophet by a show of hands? I got to move on. The second person we see in our verse. Notice Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child. The virgin shall be with child. Now, the virgin that was spoke of is Mary. Mary. God calls Mary a virgin, a woman who had never had sex, to have a baby. Lord have mercy. Y'all look back there. Y'all see Melita? Y'all see Sister Melita? She got Sister Melissa's grandchild living on the inside of her. Y'all look back there. Look back there. She is with child. Yeah. Boy, y'all ought to give God a hand clap for that. She is with child. But her pregnancy did not happen like Mary. It didn't happen like Mary. What happened with Mary, the Bible says, she conceived by the Holy Spirit. Melita got with her husband. Am I right about it? Yeah, she got with her husband. That's what married folk do, right? That's what you're supposed to do when a man and a woman get together 9 months later. Baby, right? Yeah. But what is this saying to us? God can do the miraculous in his people's life. See, the text doesn't say it, but Mary was a righteous woman. God wasn't going to do this with no sinner. Mary, young people, was upright. She was a righteous, upright woman. How can you say that, Pastor? Because over in, I believe it's Luke 1 and 28, when the angel Gabriel showed up to Mary, young people, he greeted her by saying, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." She was highly favored. God was with her, and she was blessed. And see, the Bible says that among the upright, there is favor. God will bless the righteous and surround him with favor as a shield. Woo! Look at somebody say, Mary was an upright woman. Look to the other side, say, Mary was a faith walker. Oh, yeah. And because she was upright, she wasn't perfect, but because she was righteous, God gave her a miracle. And again, God ain't changed. There is nothing new under the sun. God still gives miracles to the upright. God still does the miraculous for young people that put God first. And the same way the angel of the Lord told Mary to rejoice, you're highly favored and you're blessed. As a messenger of the Lord, I'm coming to y'all saying, you better rejoice. If you have been living by faith, if you are upright, don't mean you're perfect, but you are striving to do the word, you need to expect God to do something miraculous in your life. You need to change your mind, change your focus right now. You need to get happy, get excited, because God wants to do something miraculous in your life right now. We done heard the word, bigger is here, better is coming. I come to reinforce it. Get happy. It doesn't matter what you've been going through. It don't matter how you've been feeling. It's time for you to rejoice. It's time for you to get excited, because God is ready to do a miracle in your life. In other words, God is ready to answer some prayers. God is ready to do what eyes have not seen and what ears have not heard. God is ready to do it. And he's about to do it in the lives of his people. Don't look at me like I'm going to do it. I ain't got that much power. Now, I got some authority, but I ain't got that much power to do what God is saying right now. But look at somebody and say, The Lord wants me to be happy. The Lord wants me to expect him to do something good, something miraculous in my life. What is a miracle? I said, what is a miracle? The impossible. Something that man can't do. Something that man cannot do. And the Bible is clear, young people, what's impossible with man is possible with God. But you check out Luke 1:37. When it comes to the miracles of God or the impossibilities of God, Luke 1:17 says nothing is impossible for God. Look at somebody say, nothing. Yeah, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for God. There is no thing, nothing that God cannot do. He can do the miraculous. But a miracle, young folk, also has to do with what the Lord was speaking through Minister George. Divine abundance. A miracle is when God allows you and I to experience divine abundance. Woo! Jesus went to one town where he was known. Matter of fact, the scripture says it was his own country where he was known in the community. And he couldn't do miracles or great works there because they didn't believe. You know, the only thing that can hinder God from doing a miracle in your life is if you don't believe it. See, it ain't hard for God to bless you with something even though you don't have a college degree. God can still bless you real good. You can be to the point to where you done messed up, but God can still bless you real, real good. Look how y'all looking at me. We serve a God of mercy. We serve a God of restoration. See, we may not have the means to make certain things happen, but if we just believe, if we just trust God, he can do anything. If a man done told you no, the Bible says that even the king's heart, young people, is in God's hand, and he can turn it any way he desires. Your supervisor may deny you. Your teacher may deny you. But God can turn their heart and cause them to give you favor on your life. There is nothing that the Lord cannot do. And as a young person, young adult, even the adults that are here, we need to expect God to do impossibilities in our life. You need to expect a miracle. Look at somebody, expect a miracle. Yeah, just because you've been going through something, don't let that affect your expectation. Don't allow it to cause you to doubt or to be pessimistic. You need to expect the turnaround. You need to expect things to get better. You need to expect God to have mercy on your life. You need to expect favor to show up, as we say, in the midnight hour. Look at somebody and say, you need to look for it. Yeah. Once the angel had told Mary what was going to happen, she had to expect. She had to look for it. And what do you call that? Hope. Yeah. I said, you call that hope. Am I right about it? And we should always hope, young people, in what we do not see. That's real hope. Because if we see it, why should we hope? So you need to have you a list. You need to have you desires that line up with God's word. Lord, I'm expecting you to do the impossible in my life. I'm expecting you to do what mama can't do in my life, what pastor can't do in my life. I'm expecting you to give me favor. Am I right about it? Now, let's look at Matthew 13:57. I need to reference something that I just said. Are you learning? Now we're talking about the virgin. What's the virgin's name? Mary. What type of person was Mary? She was an upright person. And what does God do for the upright? He gives them miracles or favor, right? But who is the only one that can mess up the miracle? Yeah, not the devil. Who? Me. Self. Right? Matthew 13, 57, 58. So they were offended at him, talking about Jesus when he got to his own country. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without, help me, honor, except in his own country and in his own house. 58. Now, he did not do many mighty works or miracles there because of their unbelief. So I need to leave here today believing. You're going to do something powerful in my life, Lord. Despite what I see. Because I don't walk by what I see. I don't walk by how I feel. I'm walking by what the prophet done declared. Yeah, and you said, if I believe your prophets, I would prosper. And so then you got to take it further, and you got to remember what was said through Minister Thomason this morning. You got to start using your mouth, young people. You got to start speaking. Death and life is in the what? Power of the tongue. You got to leave it, Lord. Pastor done said to expect the impossible. Lord, you're going to do the impossible in my life. You start doing what the Bible says. You start framing the world with your words. That's what the Bible says God did. The world was framed by the word. So you leave here, Lord, you're going to do the impossible in this class. Lord, you're going to do the impossible or a miracle in my finance. Lord, you're going to do the impossible or a miracle in my health. You start speaking it, because the Bible says, young folk, that we will be satisfied by the words that we speak. Now, if you leave here and you don't do what's being said, nothing from nothing equals nothing. So you got to start putting it into action. You got to just start speaking it with your mouth. Boy, I'm giving you the blueprint. How many get it? Y'all looking at me bewildered. Y'all looking at me puzzled. But how many are getting it? I'm giving you the strategy. I'm giving you the blueprint. Are you getting it? The prophet gives the word. We believe it and we start speaking it. Yeah, that's what happens. That's how it needs to go down. Am I right about it? All right. So we see the first two people, and we understand about the prophet. We understand about the virgin. And then the virgin had a son. Lord have mercy. I thank God for the Son. The Son we know is Jesus. But notice how the text says, or what the text says in Matthew 1:23. Pick it up, and it says, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So the third person we need to know about, especially when we're talking about worshiping God and celebrating the Lord during Christmas, is Emmanuel. Emmanuel. And the text tells us what Emmanuel means. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Now, there are many names that describe the character of our God, right? We learned a few weeks ago about Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. But here we see another name for God, Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and spoke this verse, he was quoting what was told to Isaiah in Isaiah 7 and 14. But the primary thing I want us to leave with, young people, young adults, when it comes to Emmanuel, Jesus, we need to always remember that he is with us. He was born thousands of years ago, walked the earth for 33 years, died, rose again, but he's still Emmanuel. He's still with us. Look at somebody and say, the Son is still with us. Yeah, I can't see them like they did back in the Bible. I can't touch them like they did in Scripture. But I have to believe it because Jesus told Thomas, blessed are those who do not see, yet they do believe. You got to know as a born-again Christian that God is with you. I said Emmanuel is with us. Am I right about it? And when God is with us, how many know we got victory? I said, when God is with us, we have victory. Whether it's an enemy that's attacking us, like death, whether we're being tempted by sin, lack, poverty, sickness, whatever enemy is attacking us, we got to remember, God with me. I'm under attack, but Emmanuel, God is with me. And if he's with me, I have the victory. As long as I believe that he's with me. Young people, you got to know in your daily walk with God, Lord, you with me. No matter what goes down, no matter what reports come my way, God is with me. And if he's with me and I'll live by faith, I do what he tells me to do, I'm winning. I'm winning. I have the victory. Because the victory that overcomes the world, young people, is our faith. Our faith in who? Our faith in God. Our faith in his word. And see, in this life, young folk, you're going to go through things. You're going to be attacked. Yeah. I said, you're going to be attacked. Sometimes you'll be attacked in ways you've never experienced. You'll go through things mentally, sexually, socially, in your personal life, and so forth. But you've got to remember, God is with me. He with me. As long as I don't get to doing dumb stuff, I've got the victory. Paul said, thanks be unto God who has given us the victory, listen, young people, through our Lord Christ Jesus. Or we would be right to say Emmanuel, the God who is with us. He's with us. Yeah, I said he is with us. Lord have mercy. I know my God with me right now. Matter of fact, not just with me. How many know he's with you? Yeah, when I ride up the road today in the back seat, I know God is with me. He may be in the front seat. I don't know, but he's going to be he with me. He with me. He's with me, and you need to know that. And when you know God is with you, man, you shouldn't have no problem giving God praise. I said you shouldn't have no problem celebrating Jesus. You should be quick to tell folks, hold up, Santa ain't with me. Rudolph ain't with me. Miss Santa Claus, she ain't with me. But Jesus, the Son of God, he is with me. When I'm in the mountain, when I'm in the valley, he's with me. You got to remember that because you can't ride off of your mama testimony. You got to know that God is with you. He's with you. Am I right about it? How many understand about the prophet, the virgin, and the Son by a show of hands? And if we allow the Son to be Lord in our life, how many know we've got the victory? All right, I'm going to stop right there. Let's give our God a hand clap for Matthew 1:22 and 23.